good to have the Don Gels back from the beach, and Miss Libby and her sisters. And welcome back. And tell you, it's been crazy days. We've lived through days of Corona. We lived through riots. And yesterday I lived through my first sandstorm in Phoenix. So if it gets any weirder, I don't know what comes next. It's great to see you in church today, and it's great to have those who are watching us on Facebook. I realized between services today, my sister texted me, and she said, I'll see you in an hour. And it's amazing. We take little things for granted, but now that I'm preaching each week, my family's online, so I go to church with my dad in the first service, and I go to church the second hour with my sister, and that's never happened in my life, so that's awesome. We're continuing today in our sermon series, Stronger Faith, and we're looking at the lives of four different heroes of faith from the book of Genesis, and looking at their lives and trying to see what we can learn about having a stronger faith. So by way of a little bit of review, on the first week we studied the life of Noah, and Noah reminds us that we need a faith that obeys. Each week we have a faith lesson. And that week, our faith lesson was, our faith grows stronger every time we obey God.
Amen.
Yeah. And last week, Abraham, we learned that we needed a faith that trusts. Our faith lesson was, our faith grows stronger every time we trust God without fully understanding. Today, we're going to take a look at the life of Jacob, and we're going to be looking at a faith that perseveres. So, what is perseverance? A definition for you this morning is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success or a goal. Persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay. Those two words really are going to fit our message this morning. Difficulty being obstacles and struggles in life, and delay talks about having to wait on God. Listen, when life is hard, we get to a hard place. We have to decide, am I going to give up or am I going to keep going? Am I going to throw in the towel or am I going to persevere? I want to tell you this morning, perseverance is important to our faith. And today, we're going to look at how it was important in the life of Jacob. So before we jump into the Bible this morning and read the story, we're actually talking about Jacob and his father-in-law Laban, was his uncle and becomes his father-in-law. So a few things about Jacob. First of all, Jacob was not a perfect guy. Matter of fact, he didn't have the best character. He was a little bit flawed. He grew up in a pretty dysfunctional home and he learned some bad characteristics. He also made some really poor choices in his life. So I just want you to know this morning, when we're talking about heroes of the faith, we're not talking about some saint. We're talking about people that were somewhat creeps and losers and just like us, right? Well, me, anyway. So anyway, they're not up on a pedestal. We can relate to these guys, these characters out of the book of Genesis. So a little bit of the backstory of Jacob this morning. You may know he was born as a twin. Kind of an interesting story. You know, brother sticks his arm out of the womb and they tie a little string on it and then whoop, there goes the string and big brother comes out and this little guy is just holding on to the heel of his brother. He was going to be a handful. Jacob's the little brother and Esau was the older brother, probably by minutes. It's not like he was 10 years older. They were twins. On his deathbed, their father Isaac was getting ready to bless Esau. It was typical for the father to give a blessing before he died, typically to the oldest son, but it wasn't always to the oldest son. If you remember, poor Esau, he gave up his birthright. That was kind of another blessing. And as I was studying this week, a birthright could be sold. It wasn't something that was just given. If the older brother Esau selling it, it wasn't something that he couldn't do, and he did. He sold it for a bowl of stew, which was foolish. But the second was this blessing from God through his father. The blessing that would come from the father often came with an abundance of wealth as he would gain most of the inheritance from the family, and also by this blessing that God, the father was giving the oldest son the mantle of leadership of the entire family. He would be the new leader. So Esau was a hunter, and Dad requested that he go hunt some wild game for him to eat. And while Esau is hunting, Jacob sneaks in with the encouragement of his manipulative mother and tricks his father into believing that he's Esau. Now, Isaac is pretty old at this point, and he can't see. And the problem was Jacob didn't hardly have a hair on his body, and Esau was like a gorilla. So he's putting skins on his arms, and he's trying to fake his father out, and he does. He does fool his father, and Isaac gives the blessing to Jacob. So when Esau returns, he's mad, and actually he wants to kill Jacob. So Jacob goes on the run. He's going to head back to Haran, to where his uncle Laban lives. He's going to lay low there for a while and keep his distance from Esau. So Jacob, right here in the beginning of our story, he has to leave his home, he has to leave his plans for the future, and he has to leave this blessing that he's just received. So we read about Jacob and Laban in Genesis in chapters 29 to 31. So it's a few chapters. We're not going to read all those this morning, and I know you're thankful. Jacob is fleeing from Esau, and he's going back to Haran because he wants to be near his family. Now, his mother used the excuse, "I don't want my boy marrying any of these girls around here. You need to send him back home." Well, she really was trying to get him out of town because she knew Esau was mad. So let's just get Jacob on the road. Mom was always in control in that situation. So when he arrives in Haran, he comes to the well, and he meets his cousin Rachel, and he is pretty love-struck with her. She runs home and tells her father that Jacob has come. This is where we pick up the story. Chapter 29, verse 13. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." So after Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." And Jacob already has in his mind what his wages should be. Verse 16. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So on the surface, it seems like everything is going to be this really sweet, romantic love story, right? Everybody's going to live happily ever after, but that's not quite how the story goes at all. You see, the reason Jacob has found himself in this situation to start with is he swindled his brother Esau out of his inheritance, and he had to run away so fast that he didn't have anything to offer Laban in exchange for his daughter's hand in marriage. It would have been typical for the groom's family to give some kind of dowry, either gifts or wealth, and give it to the bride's family as a gift. But because Jacob didn't have anything, he agreed to work for Laban 7 years to earn the right to marry Rachel. So the story of Jacob's life is about struggling and about waiting. Now listen, Jacob could have given up many times, and you'll see that throughout the story this morning, but he didn't. So that leads us to our stronger faith lesson for today. Our faith grows stronger every time we refuse to give up. So here's the way that works. Every challenge that we face in our life is an opportunity for our faith to grow stronger. But what you got to understand is it doesn't grow stronger automatically just because we go through stuff, right? You've heard that saying, you know, what doesn't kill you make you stronger? Well, sometimes things about kill us when we go through them. The way they make us stronger is we have to persevere, and we've got to learn to trust God to bring us through the challenges. That's when our faith grows. So how does this happen? Well, first of all, perseverance strengthens my faith when I expect challenges in my life. So if life is full of challenges, and that's true for us, and it was true for Jacob, after agreeing to work for Laban for 7 years so that he could marry Rachel, Jacob is about to face a really big challenge. Verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. And that was she. Sounds like that ought to come right out of one of those Hallmark Christmas movies, doesn't it? The time came for him to marry her. Verse 21, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, my time is completed. Jacob had worked 7 years and he fulfilled his part of the agreement. He was ready to marry Rachel, but the problem was Uncle Laban is dishonest and he tricks him. Laban didn't want his older daughter Leah to get overlooked, passed over, and for Jacob to be able to go ahead and marry Rachel first. So in the last minute, he changes the deal and he makes Jacob marry Leah instead of Rachel. He doesn't even know what's going on. Verse 22, so Laban brought together all the people of the place and he gave a feast. When evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. Now, you would think he would know, right? If you go through a wedding. And as I was studying, it said that typically the wedding that we know today, where the husband and wife stand up and they say their vows to each other, they didn't necessarily do that in the Bible times like that. Often, it was consummated at the honeymoon. So they probably, because I thought, well, surely he's going to hear Leah's voice like, that's not my girl. But they probably didn't do the vows. And then she has a veil over her face and it's at night. So here's Jacob's response. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you've done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Laban had tricked Jacob out of what he had been promised, pretty much in the same way that he tricked his brother Esau out of what he had been promised. Jacob had given 7 years of his life to Laban. He did what was right, but listen, things weren't turning out the way he planned. We've got to learn to persevere in life and in our faith, because I'm going to tell you this morning, life is not always going to go according to your plan. And even though you don't always see the challenges coming, you can be certain they are going to come. We just need to decide now. We need to decide in advance that we're going to turn to God and we're going to trust Him to bring us through.
Amen.
John 16:33, Jesus is speaking and He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. That's awesome. Peace. What does He say? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus knew that we were going to face challenges. But if we will turn to Him, if we will trust Him and not ourselves and not our own strength, He will help us and He will bring us through. That's the first step. Perseverance strengthens my faith when I expect the challenges in life. But perseverance strengthens my faith when I look for God's purpose while I'm waiting. Now listen, God doesn't always give us the reasons why things happen in our lives. He doesn't always give us answers. But He will always use them to help us grow in our relationship with Him. Nothing gets wasted. Now we said the definition of perseverance was persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in waiting. Jacob lived in life's waiting room. He waited his entire life. He waited 7 years to marry Rachel, only to get stuck with Leah. And then to make matters worse, in order for Jacob to finally marry Rachel, Laban makes him agree to work for another 7 years. Verse 26, Laban replied, it's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week. The wedding lasted a whole week. Finish this daughter's bridal week, and then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work. And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. So Jacob worked 14 years for his uncle Laban, who treated him so badly. But listen, he couldn't leave. He couldn't get away from Uncle Laban because everything he's earned so far were for his two wives. The guy is broke. The guy still doesn't have any wealth of his own. Listen, having to wait, especially if you're like Jacob, if you've been doing everything right and yet your situation is still tough and all you have left to do is wait. It's tough. When I was a student at Southern Wesleyan, I traveled with one of the singing groups, and our director back then was Miss Joanne Drury. And she had decided that we each needed a spiritual grandmother, so she found a grandmother from the community, and each of us had an adopted grandmother. Mine was Ruth Gibson. We spent a lot of time together. She was a career missionary. She never married, so I just considered myself as her only grandchild. And she was a wonderful lady of God and loved God with all her heart. I began to share with her when I was at Southern Wesleyan. I got mono one semester, and then that turned into chronic fatigue syndrome, which lasted well over a year. I was one sick dude. And I had to drop my hours in school, which means you lose all your financial aid, which means I had to move out of the dorm, and then I moved into Duckett Funeral Home, and because it was cheap, all I had to do was sweep up flower petals. It was a rough time in my life. I was so frustrated, and all of that got me behind in school. I had to go to school 5 years to finish my degree. I remember one afternoon sitting in her living room in her apartment in Clemson, and she said to me, "No time is wasted in preparation." She had lived on the mission field. She knew things didn't go well. She knew things didn't always go as planned. I remember her telling me a story about the Jeep that wouldn't start, and she just prayed over it, and then it started. No time is wasted in preparation. What she was saying is, no time is wasted when you're in the waiting room of life. God is always at work preparing us for our future, and he's trying to strengthen our faith. Let me share a couple reasons with you why God might cause us to wait. One of the reasons is that he wants us to draw closer to him. For whatever reason, at times we can drift away from God. We start relying on ourselves. We don't come to him. We're not praying for his help with our needs. And sometimes God lets us go through a time, a season of waiting to remind us that he's the one that we need to lean on and trust, and that he's the only one who can bring us through stuff. Jacob had learned to get what he wanted by relying on himself and manipulating people. He was good at it. But God had him in this waiting room of life to teach him and to help him grow in his faith and to help Jacob to learn to trust and depend on God. So, during this process, something very important happens to Jacob. So between Esau, who's mad at him and wants to kill him, and going to Uncle Laban's house, along that journey one night, he comes to a place, and it's gotten dark, and so he lays down to go to sleep. And he grabs a rock, and he puts it under his head for a pillow, and he goes to sleep. And God comes to Jacob in a dream. God begins to tell Jacob, and he promises to Jacob, he makes the same promise that he made to his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac, that his descendants would be blessed and that they would inherit the land that he was actually sleeping on, and that all of the world, that all people would be blessed through Jacob and his family. It was through Jacob that Jesus would come. God told Jacob that he would be with him until everything that he had promised would be fulfilled. When Jacob woke up, and because of God's promises to him to watch over him, Jacob made a vow to God that he would follow him. You see, God was using this time in between Esau and Uncle Laban to draw Jacob closer to himself. But listen, more than that, he changed his heart. He went from a guy who lied and cheated to becoming a man of great faith and integrity before God and even his uncle. Another reason why sometimes God may have its way, it's because God has something better for us.
Amen.
You see, what I want right now may seem good, but it may not be God's plan for me. You might say, well, I went to this job interview and it was perfect for me. I had the perfect gifts and it was a perfect job that I didn't get it. How come? Or I thought I was in love with this person and I thought we would be engaged and we were married and it didn't work out. Sometimes what we want is not really what we need. And God may allow us to wait so that we can experience His best and not settle for something less. Another reason God may cause us to wait is because He wants us to grow. You might be in a season of waiting right now, and one of the things that God is trying to do is help you grow and strengthen your faith. Now the problem is, we are impatient, and we don't like to wait, do we? I think TV, I was thinking this week, TV has really conditioned us. Okay, we watch a one-hour show, and since I'm such a Netflix expert now, you know when you watch an episode on Netflix, it's really only 42 minutes long or so because it cut out all the commercials. So the issue is, every dilemma and trouble a person has on TV is usually resolved in 42 minutes. Right? Episode of Friends, the world's falling apart, by the end it's perfect. Everyone's life gets fixed, and somehow we think that's how life is, and we want quick solutions, and we want things now, and we don't like having to wait. Listen, I don't know why you're having to wait right now, but God does. And He has a purpose for you in the waiting room that you're in right now. He wants you to trust Him, and He wants you to look for His purpose while you wait. God wants to strengthen your faith and help you persevere. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, it didn't say have a party when you go through hard stuff, right? Woo, it's good, I'm having a hard time. He was just saying it's okay, right? Just know there's something good going on when you go through a hard time. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. I don't know about you, but I love what that scripture says. All of this so God can make me complete, not lacking anything. God's going to give me absolutely everything I need.
Amen.
So Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, but Laban made him wait. Made him marry Leah instead. He did marry Rachel a week later, but he had to work for her another 7 years. Listen, God is often working on something to fulfill His purposes that you and I don't even know, see, or understand. Here's the important part of this story. If you fast forward 2,000 years, guess whose family line Jesus was born into? It wasn't Rachel, Jacob's favorite. It was Leah's. Through Leah would come the Messiah. Through Leah, we would get Jesus. You know, we may not know what's happening in our waiting room right now, but God is working all things out for your best.
Amen.
Even if you can't understand it. Perseverance strengthens our faith. When we expect challenges in our life, we know they're coming. When we look for God's purpose. But perseverance also strengthens my faith. Listen, when I lean on God, when I'm uncertain. Jacob's life was full of uncertainty. When Esau hunt him down, will Laban treat me bad today? He just never knew what was going to be going on. But God made this promise to him in Genesis 28, 15. He says, "What's more, Jacob, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go." No matter how uncertain Jacob's life was, he trusted God because God had promised to care for him. God had promised to meet his needs, to protect him, to help him no matter what he was going through. Jacob knew he could lean on God. So when you're not sure when this season of your life, this waiting will end, and you're not certain how it's all going to turn out, I just want you to ask yourself one question. Who am I leaning on? Now, you can lean on yourself, Society tells you, lean on yourself, look for that inner strength, that self-reliance, and it will work for a little while. But before long, your strength is going to run out. You can lean on other people, and certainly God uses other people to help us and encourage us, like Grandma Ruth in my life. But listen, as good as that is, people let us down too. You can throw yourself into your job and just work, work, work. You can throw yourself into some kind of addiction, some kind of quick fix to help you feel better, to bury the stress, to push it aside, to ignore it. But listen, all of those things are still dead ends. When we're facing challenges in life, we have to learn to lean on God. When you're uncertain, you need something that's certain. You need something that is rock solid. And I'm going to tell you this morning, that is God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what you face, you can do everything. You can go through that. God will give you everything you need because He is the one who will give you the strength to bring you through all of your challenges and your obstacles. Finally, through Jacob's life, we learn that perseverance strengthens my faith. Listen, when I remain obedient and I don't give up. Every step of the way, Jacob could have given up. Jacob could have thrown in the towel, but he didn't. He trusted God. Now, I want you to remember, it's not like he tried to drudge up all this superpower or he took this extra dose of vitamin B good. There wasn't enough vitamin B good. He was a creep. Jacob, what changed is Jacob had an encounter with God. He was at his wit's end at trying to do life in his own strength. God changed his heart, and even through all of his dealings with Uncle Laban, Jacob remained obedient. Jacob kept his word. He was a man of integrity, even when Uncle Laban took advantage of him. So let me ask you a question. Do you have a Laban in your life? Is there someone in your life who only looks out for themselves? They give you their word and then they break their word? And really, they're only looking out for themselves, even if it means hurting you. It's hard. Now, some of you this morning are like, no way, Pastor Paul. I don't know any creeps like that. And some of you this morning are going, how did you know? My life was miserable. You don't know how I struggle. It's hard to deal with Labans in our lives. Now listen, maybe you're a Laban in someone else's life. Is there someone that you're not keeping your word to? Or maybe you're looking for a way to get ahead and you're being tempted to compromise your integrity. Maybe you're willing to take advantage of someone else. You do not want to be a Laban. And I want you to be careful because when you're dealing with someone who constantly breaks their word and they're not treating you well, right? Nobody likes to be a doormat.
Amen.
You can turn to yourself and you say, well, I'm just going to treat them the way they treated me. Right? That's my right. They deserve it. I'm going to tell you, that's not how it goes. That's not how it went for Jacob. And it's definitely not how God wants us to behave either. You see, Jacob learned from his mistakes. God changed his heart, and he helped him to keep on being obedient and do what was right, even when Laban treated him badly and didn't keep his word. You don't want to sink to the level of a Laban. We want to be people of integrity who trust God and persevere. Remember, your faith gets stronger every time you refuse to give up. Jacob never gave up. He trusted God, and the Bible says he blessed him as a result. Genesis 30:43 says, there were a lot of things that happened for this to get where we are, but this is the final result. As a result, Jacob became very wealthy. God blessed Jacob and gave him his own wealth. Finally, he could be free from his cheating Uncle Laban. Finally, he could be free to return home and take his family with him. Because he was obedient, because he didn't give up, God blessed him beyond his imagination. So what about you? What are you going to do when you're faced with life's challenges? Maybe this morning you already are in that waiting room. Will you persevere in your faith? You've got to understand, faith is forged, it is made in the trials of life. It's when you've learned to expect the challenges of life. They're coming. It's when you don't give up. It's when you search for purpose while you wait. It's when you learn to lean on God in the middle of all your uncertainty. It's when you keep doing what's right. That's when real faith is forged and is strengthened. Don't give up. I close with this verse this morning, Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired or weary of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We're going to pray together this morning. I'm going to have two different prayer commitment times. I know for some of you this morning, this message on perseverance is exactly what you needed to hear, because you're facing a challenge this morning that's bigger than you are. It seems too big, actually, and you might be frustrated how things are going, and you might be ready to throw in the towel and ready to give up. If that's you this morning, I just, with your heads bowed, I want to pray together. Commit this to God. If God is speaking to you in your waiting room, dear God, I realize that life isn't always going to work out the way I want. And right now I'm in the waiting room and I've been thinking about calling it quits. I'm trying to face this all on my own and it's simply more than I can handle. So God, this morning I turn to you. Show me how you want to use these problems and these delays, this time of waiting, to grow my faith. Draw me closer and help me to see what you want for my life, not just what I want. Lord, I bring all of my worries, I bring all of my cares to you, and I put my trust in you. God, give me the strength to keep persevering in my faith. I know also this morning there are some listening online or sitting here who need to take the most important step of their faith this morning. And that's to put their faith in Jesus Christ for the very first time. Maybe you've never trusted him. You've never been able to turn all of your cares and all of your worries and your challenges over to him because you've never given him your life. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to simply, God knows your heart. He knows right where you are. He knows what you're going through. Simply pray this prayer in your heart this morning. Dear Jesus, please come into my life right now. I know I'm not perfect. I know I've messed up. I know I've sinned. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to turn from my past way of living, God, and I want to live for you from this day forward. God, I want to learn to love you, and I want to learn to trust you, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We got to commit our lives. We got to go through this journey with God. So as we wrap up today, I want you to remember, we are not trying to work harder to do this on our own. But rather, we're learning to rely on God, trusting him to give us a stronger faith to persevere. According to Philippians 4:13, we can do this by his strength. And all God's people said, Amen.